Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Arachin Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, near the bottom of the Amud, taking a look at Mishnah Vav of this, the ninth parak, continuing with our analysis of the laws of Bayit Ba'arei Choma, selling it, redeeming it, etc. Now, Yir Shigagoteha Chomata. Let's say you have a city where its roofs are its wall, meaning that there is no wall around the city, but they placed houses around the perimeter of the city, and they put them so close together that they form a wall. Or if it has a wall, but the wall was not up since times of Yehoshua ben Nun, that is not called Yir Choma. So what do you need to have it? You have to have at least three lots, each of which has at least two houses, so you have to have at least six houses, and the town has to have been surrounded by a wall since the times of Yehoshua bin Nun. Particular neighborhood of Tzipori, Chakrashel Gush Chalav, also in the Galil, Vyodfata Yishana, Vigamla, Ugdud, Vachadid, Veonov, Yerushalayim, Vachen Kolka Yotzeben. So we have these cities that are in different parts of the country. The first few are in the north, and the next few are in the south. Tanu Rabbanan, we'll see why they listed those towns. Choma, Velo Shur, Yeshur Iger. The Torah says about the word choma, so we say it really has to be a wall, and not where the houses themselves are surrounding it. Saviv, prop the Tiberia shema chomata. The walls have to go around the town. In Tiberia, there was a bit of a wall that was jutted out into the water, but part of the protection of the city was the kinneret. And so therefore it was not entirely surrounded by wall. Rabbi Yossi Omer Asher Lo Choma, and the text that talks about our case about Asher Lo Choma, notice the way that I represented the text there, has a Kri Uchtiv. It's written in the Torah Lamed Vav Aleph. We read it's written Lamed Vav. It's written Lamed Vav Aleph. And the way that we understand it is Asher Lo Choma, Lo in the possessive, it has a wall. But the way we could understand it is Asher Lo Choma, it does not have a wall. Meaning Al Pisha in Lo Achshav Ayelo Kodem Lachein. Even though it doesn't have a wall currently, if it had a wall at one time, which means that if the wall of the city is not there, but it was at times Yehoshua ben Nun, that's how it's judged. Tana Gamla Bagalil Gdud Be'Evra Hayarden. So we're told that Gamla is in the north. Gdud is a town that's roughly opposite Jericho on the other side of the Jordan, on the east bank. Chadid and Yerushalayim Behuda. Those towns are in the south. Ono is not far from Kiryat Ono today. Yerushalayim, of course, we know. Maika Amar. What's the Tana saying that for? Abai Achi Kamar. Ad Gamla Bagalil. Agdud Be'evar Yarden. Chadid Ono Yerushalayim Behuda. He says these are the boundaries, meaning any town that's further east, let's say, than Gdud, or further south than Yerushalayim, doesn't count. Rav Amar says, Gamla Bagalil, Lafuki Gamla Sharasot. He said, no, the Brightness is coming to tell you which Gamla is mentioned, the one in the north, as opposed to Gamla elsewhere. Gdud Be'ever Adein, Lafuki Gdud Sharasot, etc. In other words, towns that don't have multiple towns by that name, no need to mention. So the Tana only mentioned towns which there's one that is a bayit, it is near Choma, and then there's another town by that name elsewhere. Since where is Yerushalayim a town that has the din of Arei Choma for purposes of Mechirat Bayit? There's 10 statements about Yerushalayim unique among towns. For instance, a house cannot become Beit Menugah there, and one of them is Eina Beit Chalupa. So two answers. Yerushalayim here is a model, meaning we know that Yerushalayim was a city that was walled. Take a look at the first pasuk in Yoshua Perak Yod. It was walled times of Yoshua. For lo kushlam Yerushalayim Eina Beit Chalupa. Yerushalayim itself is not a city that has this din, because we don't have chalita of houses that were sold there. Okay, Rashi Amar, Avram Rav Yosef, Trey Kedesh Havu. Rav Yosef said, in other comments about analyzing the towns, that there are two towns called Kedesh. The truth is there are several towns called Kedesh or Kadesh in Tanakh. There's of course Kedesh Naphtali, which is where Barak came from. He says there are two towns of Yerushalayim. There's the famous Yerushalayim, and there's another one that has a din of Yerchomah. Okay, very famous piece. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Why did Chachamim list all these towns in our Mishnah? Shekshalu b'nei ha'gulah matzu elu v'kidshum. Because when they came back, when Koresh gave his declaration in 538 BCE and the Jews came back, they found these towns and they re-sanctified them. Rishonot batlu, but the other towns are batel, meaning their sanctity is batel. Mishabat l'kedushat ha'aretz. When they left the land, and the sanctity of the land was batel, was nullified, so all these towns were nullified. They came back, found particular towns, and they re-sanctified them. So Kesavra's clear, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds, Kedusha Rishonot kichel ha'shata, v'lo kichel ha'tid lavo. Famous discussion in Zvachim, it's quoted in Megillah, that the first sanctity, when Yeshua ben Nun came in, was temporary. And when they were exiled, it was lost. Urmini watched his challenge, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the same, Tana says, V'chi el b'varayu. Why do you only list these towns? Just in the area of the Golan and the Bashan, there were 60 walled cities that were all sanctified. So why don't we list these? That they came back, they found these towns, and they sanctified them. Kidshum? According to this approach, you don't need to re-sanctify them. You're saying they're all holy. Elam Menahum, meaning they came and they were able to identify them and they counted them off and said, these are towns that we know have that sanctity. Velo Elu Bilvad, and it's not just the towns that are listed, meaning our list is not exhaustive. If you have a tradition that this town had a chomah at the time of Yeshua Minun, call mitzvot alalunu hagotba. And all these mitzvot of Chalitat Bayit and of Shiluach Mitzoraim, all apply to these towns. And he ends up by saying that the first sanctity was permanent, and therefore nothing could nullify it, and if you can identify a town that had that sanctity in the time of Yehoshua, etc., in the time of Yeshivat Yishuv Haaretz, it still has that sanctity. So how do we reconcile this? Ibaite matrei tana vilib Rabbi Shmuel. So there may be two versions of what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said. Ibaite machad minai Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi amra. That the other one was his brother Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi. Netanya, because we know that he holds that way. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi amra asher lo chomah pishen lo achshav. As we just saw, he's the author of the statement that even if the wall's not up, it still has the sanctity. Fal kom lachen, because says the original sanctity was permanent. Now, my time of the Mandar Kedusha Rishona Kedusha L'Shata Lo Kichel Atid Lavo. Why would somebody say that the first sanctity of the land was temporary? Dichtiv, and the answer is from the Pasuk, among those who returned, Vayasu B'nei Kolah HaShavim and HaShevi Sukkot, Vayishvu B'Sukkot, Ki Lo Asu B'Modi Yoshua Bin Nun, Ken B'nei Yisrael. Tisim HaGdola Meod. We have this description, Nechem Yechet. First of the famous scene on Rosh Hashanah, when they read the Torah and the people cried, and then he told them to make Sukkot, and they built Sukkot, and they had not had Sukkot like that since time of Yehoshua bin Nun. Shabbat David v'asu Sukkot? What, they never made Sukkot from the time of Yehoshua till now? David's time, Shlomo's time, Chizkiyahu's time? Achabah Ezra? Elamakish b'yatam me'ezra l'yatam Yehoshua. What this text is doing is comparing their return when they came, in the second return in the times of Ezra, in the period of Ezra, writ large, to the original coming in Yoshua's time, which is Ma Biatam Yoshua Manu Shvitin Vyoflot Kichur Yechoma. When they came in Yoshua's time, after they settled the land, then they started counting Shemitah, and they started counting Yovel, and they sanctified Arechoma. Aviatat Meizra Manu Shvitin Vyoflot Kichur Yechoma. So they must have done the same thing, and it was done a restart. Now we restart our settlement in the land, start counting Shemitah, and then Yovel, and then sanctify Arechoma. Yovel will be a little bit of a problem. The Omer, and to support this, we say, that Hashem will bring you to the land that your ancestors conquered, and you will conquer it, or you will inherit it. What does that mean? It compares your inheritance of the land to the one of your ancestors. Just like when they came in and inherited the land, they started all of this, Shemitah and Yovel and Kiddush Arim. So when you come, you do this also. So that's the opinion that says that the Kedusha Rishona was Batel, and when he came back in the 6th century BCE, we had to restart all of it. V'idach, what's the other position? That how do they interpret the strange pasuk in Nechemiah about Sukkot? Reads the entire pasuk sort of homiletically or figuratively, saying when they came back, as well known from other places, the Sugin Sanhedrin, they wanted to make sure that there would be no temptation to Avodah Zarah, and they prayed that the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah would be gone, and they're successful, and it protected them like a sukkah. And they had not had that kind of protection since Yehoshua ben Nun. And that's why in the text in Nehemiah it spells Yeshua's name strangely. And of course his name originally was Hoshea. It's written without that hey. Yeshua meaning salvation. So we understand why Moshe didn't daven for that. Why Moshe didn't daven for the getting rid of the Yetzer? Because he didn't have yet the schut of Eretz Yisrael. Well, Yeshua, the Havel, the schut of Eretz Yisrael, my lo libi rachmi. Why didn't Yeshua, who had the schut of Eretz Yisrael, make that request? Meaning that it's a comparable piece. So the way that they interpret it is not that we compare your Yerusha to their Yerusha, but rather once they inherited it, you've already inherited. Okay. But now, as I mentioned in the description of the return, according to the position that they had to re-sanctify, it says they counted Shemitah and Yovel. Umimanu Shemitah and Yovel. Since when was that the case? As I mentioned a couple times earlier in the Masachet, the Yovel only operates when all the tribes are on their land. And if Reuven and Gad and half Menasha already were exiled early in the Assyrian conquest, before the northern tribes were exiled, and from that point on they no longer counted Yovel, in Ezra Perek Bet it lists all the people who returned at the beginning of Shivat Zion. It was a paltry 40,000 or so. How could it be that they would start counting Yovlot? You had a very small portion of the population in Israel at all. You certainly didn't have all the tribes, and certainly didn't have them settled on all of their ancestral land. Titania, how do we know any of that? But Lu Yovlot, we have a brayta that tells us that the minute that the first tribes were exiled, that was the end of Yovel. Shenemar, why, how do we know that? Yovel is a declaration of freedom to the land, to all its inhabitants. Meaning, it has to be at a time when all its inhabitants are on the land, and not when some of them have been exiled. I might think that everybody's in Israel, but they're all mixed up in different territories. There's still Yovel, Shev Binyamin, Yudav, Shev Yudav, Binyamin. And by the way, this is still talking about a time when there's tribal identity, but they're just living among each other, like it was at the beginning of Bayit Sheni, when, for instance, Binyamin was living in an area of Yehudah. Yeh Yovel Noheg. I might still think Yovel works because at least they're all there. So Malomar Lechol Yoshvea, meaning Zvan She Yoshvea Kitikunan, when everybody's living where they need to be. Zvan Shen Muravin. So how did they start counting Yovel? Rachma Yitzchak Manu Yovlot Lekadesh Shvitin. They didn't count Yovel in order to practice Yovel. They counted Yovel in order to just keep a count. So there'd be a 50-year cycle in order to kind of maintain that tradition, but they didn't actually practice Yovel. That's his answer. So that works according to the Rabbanan, who says it is a full 50-year cycle, and the 50th year stands by itself, and then you start again. But remember, Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's a 49-year cycle. You count 49 years, the 50th is Yovel, but the 50th is also the first year of the next cycle. And so according to that, Lamali, what do I need to count Yovel or mention Yovel at all? Just keep doing seven Shemitahs at a time. The Yavi Shemitah in Sagia. The answer is Havad, Lelok Rabbi Yehuda. So that tradition can't follow Rabbi Yehuda. V'loma Shemitah Shemitah in Yovel. What, they didn't count Shemitah in Yovel and actually practice Yovel at that time? V'haktiv, in Yirmiyahu Lamedalad, where he has a diatribe against the people who would keep the Jewish slaves, he says, Miketz Sheva Shanim to Shalchu Ishat Achiv Ivri Asher Yimacher Lecha. And remember, Yirmiyahu is at the very, very end of the period of the First Commonwealth. And he says, at the end of 7 years, you have to send your Hebrew slave that was sold to you. And on that we asked, how could you say it's the end of 7 years? The halacha is that you have to send him after 6 years. So why does Yirmiyahu say at the end of 7 years? That it's, if you're a regular sold slave, you have six, but you could be sold, freed after seven if you had Ritzia, and at the end of seventh year was Yovel. So Aruba Tochaktiv, he was just rebuking them. Kamar Navi, Hashlachtem, but Hashlachtem, he's just saying that, you know, you haven't sent them out, and you've done a terrible thing, and that's why you're gonna get this punishment. But the problem with saying that it's merely rebuke is Vaktiv, Aishmu, Vaishalechu, they listened to Yirmiyahu, and they sent him, they sent them out, and it sounds like they sent them out after 7 years. So how could you say that Yovel wasn't Noheg at the time, towards the end of the first Commonwealth, when all those tribes were gone already? Because after all, why would Yirmiyahu tell them to send them away after 7 years? And it says that they obeyed him and did that. Elam Rav Yochanan, so we have this interesting tradition, Yirmiyahu Echziran, Yoshia ben Amon Malach Alehen, that Yirmiyahu returned members of each of the tribes from their exile. This is now a full 100 years or so after the exile of the north. And he brought them back, and Yoshiyahu, who was the great king in Yirmiyahu's time before the last few kings came along, was the ruler. Umanawan Dahadur, how do we know that he returned them and Yovel was regenerated? Yechezkel gives a nevuah, and this is at the time around the time of the Churban. He said the time will come when there will no longer be reversion of sale, meaning Yovel will be canceled. How could it be that the Yovel was already in suspension and the Navi is giving a nevuah that it's going to be suspended or nullified? Doesn't make sense, unless in Yechezkel's time, Yovel had already been regenerated, and is giving a nevuah that it will be nullified again. So it teaches that Yirmiyahu returned them, and Yovel was regenerated, and that's what was going on. So parenthetically, on that particular tradition, how do we know that Yoshiyahu ruled over them? If you recall, towards the beginning of Sefer Melachim, after Shlomo's death, when Yeravam ben Nevat sets up his mikdash in Beit El, and Isha Elohim comes, the Perek Yud Gimel, and gives prophecy that a scion of the David's house, Benim Yoshiyahu, will come and destroy all the Kohanim on this Mizbeach, and Yeravam gets mad at him, and then he gets Sarat, the whole story, and that fellow ends up dying under detailed circumstances. Take a look at Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel, and buried there. And years later, Yoshiyahu comes after that was all destroyed and sees the kever and asks who it is, and they tell him, that's the Navi who gave the prophecy about you. What's Yoshiyahu doing up in Beit El? Beit El is really north of the land of Yehuda. The answer is that their tribes were back, and Yoshiyahu was ruling them, and so he came to visit the tribe of Binyamin and Ephraim in Beit El. He has a different pasuk. He gives nevuah that the nation is going to be returned, and so they were restored, and there was a regeneration of Yovel at that time. We'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next, which will be our final podcast in Masachar Arachim. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.